This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for another edition of Thursday Coast with the founder of Daily Coast, the largest online progressive community, the host of The Brief, the founder of Civics with a Q. Marcos Melissas joins us once again. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be here with you once again. So look, a lot going on. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks. As usual, I'm still dealing with my trepidation and anxiety already about next year. You've always talked me down, but we're still in good shape. We're still hearing people having problems with the Biden administration, obviously because of the situation between Israel and Gaza. But then I've been seeing some stories, Marcos, where the administration or there were, we know a lot of this poll stuff is made up, and these aren't accurate polls. They're not like Civics, where there's a larger sample size and it's ongoing. So people are talking about polls, and they're saying that the public does not embrace Bidenomics and doesn't understand it, and it's not working, and the administration is getting anxious about that. What's your take on any or all of this? Is this anything yet to be worried about?
Can Trump win? Yeah, but that was the case before Gaza. That was the case. That's always been the case. We're a very politically divided country. There are six states that are going to matter for the presidential election. They're all very tight states. If the storyline is our battleground states, battlegrounds, yes, they always were, and they still will be battlegrounds this time around. There is nothing in the polling. And by the way, the last four national polls now show Biden ahead, but that doesn't make headlines, right? It only makes headlines when one poll comes out showing Trump ahead. We've not just been had four quality polls show Biden ahead. So again, it's all pretty much tight. Whether Trump is up by two or Biden is up by 2 or 3 points really doesn't matter. The fact is we're going to have to work hard next year. Now, I will say what I've been saying every election cycle is that there are more of us than there are of them. As long as we do the work, we're going to win. We're going to win the House if we do the work. We're going to keep the White House if we do the work. And we'll hold the Senate and maybe even pick up a seat or two if we do the work. Nothing in the numbers has changed the broader outlook. And I will tell you this, Mark, nothing will change the outlook for at least the next couple of months. Now, if Trump is convicted, maybe. I don't know. I would argue probably not. I think people just assume Trump supporters are going to say it's a deep state and it's a conspiracy and blah, blah, blah. And people who don't support Trump are going to be like, see, this is why we don't support Trump. And then nothing will change. But who knows? Maybe 1 or 2 points in the margins will be swayed. And that could be the difference. I'm not saying that nothing can change the sort of general baseline of the numbers. But really, unless somebody dies, things are pretty locked in. You have two candidates that have universal name recognition. They're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on TV ads that don't convince anybody to do anything. It's going to be on cruise control. And it's really going to come down to who works harder on the ground to get out the vote in those critical battleground states. So as we get closer to the summer, we're going to start talking about what things that people can do. Find a battleground state next near you. Is it Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, or North Carolina. That's the ballgame right there. Do you live one close to one of those states that you can go and do some organizing work? We may be looking at some of the Senate races. We got to hold Montana. We have two very difficult pickup opportunities in Florida and Texas. And I'm not going to say that it's likely that we pick those up, but I'm going to say that it's within the realm of possibilities and it's worth our effort to fight for them. Because we don't, like, abortion's changed everything, the threat to democracy. Like, there are a lot of these factors that allowed us to win historic off-year elections in 2022 and 2023. That has not changed. In special elections, Democrats are still overperforming their 2020 baseline by about 6 to 7 points. That hasn't changed. I like where we are. If you're looking at a poll, I would just go look. And if it says battleground states or battlegrounds, we know that. And that's not going to change. That part will not change. That's where we are today. I would rather be us than them. They're in a not all out civil war right now. They're going to town at each other. And yeah, we have our own internal challenges on the Democratic side, but they're nothing like what they're going through. And I'm worried in the sense that after 2016, you never take anything for granted. It'll always be too soon. It will always be too soon. But again, I like where we are. And I think it's just important to realize, oh yeah, we're going to have to work at this. This is not an easy election. We wish that people would just say Trump is disgusting. I can't support him. But they don't, because a large percentage of people, as Hillary Clinton once said, are deplorables and will stick by Trump no matter what.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy and just looking at civics. And folks, you can go to civicswithaq.com and see some of this for yourself. But before I do that, though, I think it's always important, and I'm not always that good at explaining it. Why don't you do that again for us so people can understand the difference between what civics does versus these little snapshots that people pull their hair out of mouth, that are little pop things with 1,500 people, and then they call me and stress me out, and I had to come to you for therapy. That's the cycle. That's literally the cycle. And then they'll listen to the show. What is Marcos talking about? I said, but when people, it's funny, and we all know this, even in family folks, when people know you and are close to you, they don't give it the same import as somebody they don't know. So it's just Mark and Marcos talking. I know people, members of my family who were physicians, but other family members wanted to a real physician. I said, my kid's a doctor too. You know what I'm saying? Every family goes to, so that's how it is with me. And when I say family, I mean in the political family. Well, what are you and Marcos talking about? I said, oh my God, I got to defend us. But anyway, help people, and I don't always explain it very well in terms of the sample, how you all do it, but you can see the numbers. But go ahead, do that first, and I'm going to ask you a question about what you're doing. I'm looking at some of the economy polls and wondering how much of a factor, because they always say, presidential elections boil down to the economy. And I want to get your thoughts on that.
So a traditional poll, basically what they'll do is usually it's 600 people. Maybe they'll go larger sample, but you need 600 respondents. And it's got to be a random sample based on the voter roll, right? There's a whole process that you go through. But what a traditional poll will do, a good one, And so find 600 to 1500 people, and it's called a snapshot. Because you go in, you ask them a question, boom, you publish the results, and oh, Trump is up by two, Biden's up by two, right? Everybody freak out, please. That's a traditional poll. What Civics does is we run a perpetual tracking poll. So we're asking people every single day. And it's small, right? We're asking like maybe 60 to 100 people a day. But as time grows, right, that sample size becomes enormous. And we're able to track, generally speaking, what moves numbers, what doesn't move numbers. And what you'd start realizing is that very little actually moves numbers. The economy chart is actually hilarious, and we can talk about that in a little bit, but very little actually moves numbers. And so it's interesting because there's all these assumptions. A typical poll, just by definition, will be wrong 5% of the time. They'll say 95% confidence. That means that 5% of the time, a poll will be wrong. And then you get these snapshots, and then you get the margin of error that can move numbers anywhere between 3 and 5 points, right? And so one poll may be below the margin of error. The next one, 3 months later, may be 3 points above the margin of error, or might be even wrong, because 5% of the time it will be wrong. And then people will try to say, all these things happened, and now Trump is up by 6 points, or Biden is up by 5 points. No, they're not. No, they are not. If you do a true tracking poll and you track every day, you realize that people don't really change their opinions. Furthermore, Civics is a panel-based operation. So we have a panel that's over several million large. And so what we're able to do is we're able to track even people's opinion changing, because we'll go back and ask them maybe 6 months later the same questions, and we can see that anybody changed their minds. Another factor that we can do is we know that Black women are 94% Democratic. So we don't have to ask 100 Black women if they still support Joe Biden or if they still plan to vote for Joe Biden, right? Now, we can do a sample. We can check in with 20, 30 of them. And suddenly, if there's a disproportionate number of Trump supporters amongst them, then the model can say, ooh, whoa, there's something happening here. We're going to ask more to see if this is a statistical anomaly or if this is actually something that's moving. So we're able to track by subgroups too and see who's moving, who's not moving, and really just use the wonders of statistics to model out the electorate and get these responses and these results. And it's not a snapshot. It's literally, we're asking people every single day and we're checking in. Have you changed your mind? Okay, no, you haven't. Okay, so we're still good. And then that allows us to create this rich, incredibly detailed polling results that you see at civics.com.
So on the economy, obviously, and this won't be a surprise to anyone, we see that those numbers are not good numbers. I think everybody would agree. But is anybody ever happy with the economy? 39% national economy, current condition. 39% say very bad on the Civics poll. 925,132 responses as current condition. National economy direction. Again, over 900,000 responses, 56% say getting worse, the national economy's direction. Lastly, family finances, 50%, 900-some-thousand responses, 924,518 responses, 50% have gotten worse. Now, the old adage was always that the presidential elections are determined by the state of the economy. So is that real this time, or is that something we need to be giving more attention to?
So that question is a perfect example of a question that is completely, utterly worthless. If you were to pull out, look, just click on Republicans and look at that Republican chart. The day that Donald Trump won the 2016 election, the economy was great. It went from 10% of Republicans thought the economy was great to 90%. Literally the day Donald Trump, not the day he took office, the day he was elected, the economy was great. The day Donald Trump lost in 2020, they all said the economy was shit. It's a question that is completely polluted by partisan identification. They're going to say that the Republican has a great economy, the Democrat has a terrible economy. And you see that Republicans are the worst at it. Democrats do it too, but to a far lesser extent. And independents don't know what's going on, because that's why they're independent. They don't pick a side. It's actually not a great question. Now, there are pollsters that have asked the question, has your financial situation improved in the last year? And I think it was Navigator who did that poll just a few months ago, and it was like 70% said that their situation had improved. But you ask them in the context, the partisan context, they're going to not Joe Biden now. If you're a Republican, you're going to say, yeah, everything's crap because Joe Biden is president. No, it's not a good question. The overlying theme, though, and I think this is a real thing, is people don't give Joe Biden credit for what is one of our 5% GDP growth last year. That's just bonkers economic growth. And Biden is certainly not getting credit for that. Could be lots of reasons for that. We talked about it way back in the day when Joe Biden sent out those COVID checks. Donald Trump put his name on those checks. Joe Biden did not, right? Like, these are the things you got to do if you want people to take you seriously and to give you credit for economic growth, and you got to put your name on stuff. And Joe Biden's old school and it's a little tacky. Of course it's tacky, right? But Donald Trump broke that wall. You freaking do what you need to do to brand. So now they're turning around talking about Bidenomics and will that really land? No, but probably not, because in the end, the economy and politics and who you really support to, this is my new theory, and I've really been giving it a lot of thought, that it's really about vibes. And so gas prices are going up. Yeah, it's Biden, right? Gas prices going down. Nobody's giving Biden credit for it. Of course, he had nothing to do with the prices going up, nothing to do with the prices going down. But people are happy to give the people in charge the blame when they don't like something. Gets a little different when you're supposed to credit something. Same with the ceasefire. We've had almost a week of ceasefire in Gaza. Is anybody giving Joe Biden credit for the diplomacy that has gone there? Of course not, right? No, because they're going to, once the ceasefire expires or falls apart, which it looks like it may be getting to that point, they're all going to blame Biden again, even though they've been working really hard diplomatically to try to like lower temperature. So that's just the game that we're playing now. That's what makes politics so hard. So how does Joe Biden go out and take credit for what is actually historically low unemployment, historically high GDP growth? I guess you talk about it. You have your surrogates talk about it. You make fun of Republicans when they try to take credit for government programs that they voted against, which is a thing that they love to do. And then ultimately, it's you hope that voters get it. But there's this whole, there was a story, I don't know where, did you see a story in the New York Times where they were following up on a poll that they did? And there were these weird voters that were Kamala Harris supporters, but said they were going to vote for Trump. So they called him up, right? And then, so one of these women is like, I vote for Harris, but I'm a single issue abortion voter. And so I have to vote for Trump. And so the reporters, you know that Biden supports abortion, right? And she's like, oh, really? I didn't know that. I just assumed because abortion rights went away while he was president, that he was the reason that we lost our abortion rights. So we sit here, Mark, you and me, in your audience, in my audience, we assume that people have a base level of political knowledge. No, they don't. They don't know crap. And so it is imperative on all of us, as activists, as politically engaged people, to explain to people like they are five what is actually going on. No, it was not Joe Biden that ended abortion rights. It was the Republican conservative Supreme Court that Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell installed unethically. That is our task. It's just you can't assume people know the basic stuff. And then there's another one where I think this was a Washington Post story where they were talking to somebody who's, people need to go after rich people stealing tax or not paying their taxes, and there needs to be tax relief for poor people. And it's all these things. So the reporter actually sent them links to how Joe Biden supports a child tax credit, how Joe Biden expanded the IRS to go after millionaire and billionaire tax cheats, and a couple other programs that this voter, in some Iowa voter, had talked about. And then the Iowa reporter said, oh, I didn't know that because nobody told me. I guess Biden doesn't sound so bad after all. I see that stuff, Mark, and it just really brings home how, and we can sit there and be like, oh, people are stupid or apathetic and whatnot. We can't do that, Mark. We just have to understand that people are not where we are, that they don't take this as seriously as we do. For good reasons. It's not because they're bad people. Marky knows this, right? They're working, they're busy, they're raising kids, they're struggling, they're working multiple jobs to make ends meet. They're trying to get by, and so they don't have time to sit there and try to understand what's happening politically. And the Republicans are muddying the waters on purpose. They know that a crazy news cycle turns people off. And as I always say, there's more of us than there are of them. They benefit when people tune out politics because it's too toxic, too corrosive, too gross, too confusing. So they tune that stuff out, and it just means that we need to educate the people around us. That's our job. And not do it condescendingly, not being judgmental about it. God, you're so stupid. You don't know that Joe Biden is a supporter of abortion rights. Or like, have you lived in a cave? Like, we got to get away from that kind of thinking. We got to have some compassion and understanding that Republicans have created this environment that makes it hard for people to be politically knowledgeable. And so it's our jobs to inform people, because once they see the record, they're going to realize, yeah, no, Joe Biden, he's not perfect. Nobody claimed he was, but he's actually not that bad. And Donald Trump is god-awful. That's our job.
Folks, what you all just witnessed, you've heard Marcos provide therapy for me. But as I said, anybody can be a minister. He just ministered to me. He talked about having compassion for those who don't get it. And even as a minister, that's patience I don't often have. These people make me want to lose my mind who say things like that. For example, Cardi B did a whole thing on Instagram. How can Biden spend money in Israel and Ukraine, she says. She's not supporting him because that money could be going to fight the rat problem in New York. Wait a minute, Cardi B. The federal government doesn't fund the rat policing in New York. Now, what you just said, we have to help people to be patient.
Yeah.
I want to shake them, but you can't do that either. So that was some very ministerial advice you gave. One other area, though, there are these polls coming out claiming that Trump may have 20% black support. Now, this goes back to what you're saying. What Marcos is saying, that's no small thing about the checks. Because I don't know if you've heard the term on the streets, Marcos, STEMI. People like the STEMI. That was what they called a stimulus check during COVID. Trump gave us the STEMI. Biden didn't give us a STEMI. So we want the STEMI. Wait a minute. Yeah. If it was a STEMI, when was it? Are we going to get another COVID to get a STEMI? Do people think Trump just signing checks to give out to people? When he comes in office, he's just going to sign over more checks to send you for free because it's a STEMI? So you're right. People are not aware. And it's the little things like that. Again, we play nice. Anybody else would be trying to figure out a way to let the public know I improved the economy. I am negotiating. We know. The general public doesn't know that Blinken and Biden have been pushing back on Netanyahu and Israel and to the sense that there's any kind of stuff happening that's peaceful for at least the moment is because they've been pushing and other Western nations as well, because everybody, listen, we got to cool this out. But people don't know that because it's not being reported. But they're not pushing on me. But watch this. I want to share this with you. This is, again, some of the good work folk of Media Matters. I want to share this with everyone. The big three, y'all remember it was last week or was it this week? Trump used the term vermin to refer to his opponents. Remember when Hillary Clinton used deplorables? The big three broadcast TV networks provided 18 times. These are their numbers. Media Matters, their review. 18 times more coverage of Clinton's 2016 deplorables comment than Trump's vermin remark on their combined nationally syndicated morning shows, evening news, and Sunday morning political talk shows. CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC mentioned Clinton's deplorables nearly 9 times more than Trump's vermin comment. Print reports that mentioned Trump's statement outnumbers those that mentioned Clinton's 29-1 across the 5 highest circulating U.S. newspapers. So that makes a difference as well, correct?
Of course. People are misinformed the media is not informing them. And even the deplorable thing was ridiculous. The way the media jumped on that was shameful. Where people have done the comparisons of top of the fold, deplorable Hillary Clinton for weeks on end in the New York Times. And then the treatment that they gave the deplorables, which was like page six. And like, it's no big deal. It sort of normalizes what Trump does. It makes it seem like it's just average any old day in politically. And yeah, we're underserved by the traditional media. And that's a challenge that we as activists, again, people are confused because the media's not doing their job. And then you have Fox News screaming about the stuff that they're screaming about. So it does become our job as activists, as politically engaged people, to make sure that people understand what is going on, and doing so in a way that sort of, I'm realizing more and more and more that it's vibes, right? So being calm about it when everybody else is screaming actually helps cut through all that noise. And they're just confused and they're frustrated and they're disgusted. How many times do we have to look at Marjorie Taylor Greene or Boebert, right? And not want to hurl. And so we do this because we're passionate about it. But if you're not, like, why would you want to subject yourself to that just toxicity? And so that's what's happening. So it's our job, I think, to help lower that temperature and just explain to people why this stuff matters and plant those seeds that the media's not informing. And so you had this voter on the Washington Post story saying the media didn't tell me about Biden's child tax credit. They didn't tell me about the IRS agents. And of course, those newspapers did cover when the bill passed, but they're not doing any coverage on what that means, what the consequences are, why it matters to individuals. They're not informing people. They're saying this thing happened and now Republicans or Democrats are screaming about it. That's the coverage that they're offering. And yeah, people are underserved by that. And it's one of our big challenges as we move into next year is educating people about all the good things that Biden has done and how it impacts their lives.
Yeah, no, that is a job. And you've helped with that too. Remember, you told me a few weeks ago, stop arguing with people about the Middle East. And I stopped. And then I passed that counseling on to others who were in constant arguments every day. I said, just stop arguing. Just stop it. And that's helped. Thank you for your patience and your understanding. The Reverend.
This isn't new me, for the record. I used to be a lot more. I used to be a lot more angry. And I just, as I get older and I do my inner work, I realize that we're not reaching people by screaming at each other. We're actually turning people off. This is kind of a new look on me. Let's not pretend that I'm some kind of sage.
No, all jokes aside, I remind people, I have a title of minister and reverend, but minister is actually a verb. It literally means to serve. So anybody can minister. Dr. King used to say anybody can be great because anybody could serve. So we appreciate that. It's helpful and glad that you're helping the rest of us. The Reverend Marcos Melitzis, ladies and gentlemen. Another edition of Thursday Coast in the books. Don't forget to listen to the podcast, The Brief, wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe if not already. Become a part of the Daily Coast community so you can take part in news you and I can do something about. Thanks as always, Marcos.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Mark.
I appreciate you too.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.